Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special and that message and song as well. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would go ahead and look with me to the book of Mark and chapter 3, the Gospel of Mark and chapter 3. On Sunday nights, we've been going through and in a series on the teachings of Christ, and we have been studying the teachings of Christ, what he actually taught while he walked on the face of the earth, beginning when he was 12 years of age, and then we've been studying every event in chronological order. And so we've been going through the four Gospels here to be able to find the chronological order of the teachings of Christ. And last week we studied and we saw that Jesus taught on his equality with God. His equality with God, and how important it is for us to understand the not just the divinity of God, because you can add several divine individuals over the past, especially as we look to Bible characters, but the deity of Christ. And religions can differ on that, and that's a huge difference there concerning the divinity and just studying the Bible stories and then seeing Jesus as God. And he presented himself as God. And they knew that he was presenting himself as being equal with God. So the equality with God. And in that, he taught that he was Lord of the Sabbath, which is indication that he's the one that designed the Sabbath day of the Old Testament. And he's Lord of the Sabbath. And back in Mark in chapter 2 here, verse 27 and verse 28, he said, and this is we ended up last week, but and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. See, the scribes and the Pharisees, and sometimes religion, you know, sees things the opposite. And God says, no, humanity is the most important thing. I created man in my image after my likeness. I sent my son to die for them. Humanity is what's important. The Sabbath was designed for man, not man for the Sabbath. And then he said, therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And then we find the next lesson, the teachings of Christ here in chapter 3, Mark chapter 3. So go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading chapter 3, verse 1 down to verse 6. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. And he, Jesus, entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, those who were watching him, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, plural, or to do evil? Question mark. To save life or to kill? Question mark. But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you again, we thank you for this privilege to be back in church tonight, and thank you for what we've already received. But now as we look into this passage of Scripture and what you taught, pray that you'd help us all to learn these truths and also apply them to our lives. Bless the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. So we find that Jesus continues to heal on the Sabbath days.
And they continue to see if he's going to heal on the Sabbath day so they can find fault in him concerning the law of God. What he had already told them by saying that he's the Lord of the Sabbath is that he is not breaking the law, he's fulfilling the law. He's the one that established the law. He designed the law. He understands the law better than anyone else could understand the law. And he's Lord. So stop focusing on the law and start focusing on the Lord. So he's going to continue to heal on the Sabbath days. He would not stop. Praise the Lord for that. Once you know it's truth, don't let anybody talk you out of it. Don't be persuaded to change your mind. If it's true, it will always be true. The truths of God's word do not change over time. The principles of God's word do not change over time. If you have learned a truth and a principle from the word of God, hold on to it. It will never change. Don't be persuaded by anyone or anything to turn away from the truth of God. And that's what we see Jesus teaching. Now, a lesson to be taught through answering a question. That's what we're looking at tonight. Jesus wanted to teach them a lesson through answering, and he would do this quite often. We've studied in the life, and it'll continue. He'll answer a question knowing the answer, knowing why he asked it the way he did, so that people that wanted to learn and understand could. So verse 4, he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil? To save life or to kill. From an understanding of God's law, is it lawful? Now he's wanting them, and they understand that they can't answer anyway, either one of these, and hold to what they wanted to hold him accountable to. Even though this is a legitimate question and there is an answer to this question, but they did not want the answer to the question. They did not want to accept it the way it was delivered. And so they wouldn't answer. The answer should have been, you do good all the time and you save life anytime. There's never a wrong time, a bad time to do good. And if you have an opportunity to save a life, you save the life. That's the message that God has for those that wanted to find fault in Jesus' healing on the Sabbath day. But this was a question that the Pharisees did not want to answer, but they needed to. Have you ever been there? You really knew the answer, but you didn't want to give the answer because you didn't want to accept the answer. And you tried to justify a lie. Or do whatever it is you want to do in answering that question. You see, they had already hardened their hearts to Jesus. In verse 5, it said here, and when he had looked around about on them, he knew what was going on inside of them. He knew the question is what they needed to answer, and it would help them. But he also knew, when he looked around about on them with anger, he was angry, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. God doesn't want us to harden our hearts. He wants to open our hearts to Him. He doesn't want us to harden our heart to the truth. He wants us to accept the truth and live by it. Luke in chapter 6, in Luke's account, we find somewhat the same, a little bit different here, but in Luke in chapter 6 and verse 7, and the scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day that they might find an accusation against him. They had hardened their heart to believe that he was the Messiah. Therefore, they had hardened their heart to accept anything that he had to teach them. They had hardened their heart to even answer the question that would help them to see the truth. And then in verse 11 says, and they were filled with madness. I'll tell you what, it reminds me a lot of politicians. It really does. Yeah. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another that had the very same desires to find fault in Christ, that they might, what they might do to Jesus. Can I tell you, they were hypocrites. Now again, Jesus had called them out for that, and he will continue to call them out for that in his teachings, so that those who wanted to learn and had a desire to learn the truths and the lessons that Christ had to present to them would not allow themselves to be deceived by the Pharisees and the scribes and the religionists of the day. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. He calls them out. In John chapter 7, verse 19, he said, did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go ye about to kill me? Sometimes, if you're not careful, we want to crucify someone doing something that we have justified ourselves in doing that. You know, that's sad, because that's hypocritical. That's not of God. And so he is addressing them, and then he says down in verse 22, Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise the man. Okay, it's a conflict here. Ye either believe that you do nothing on the Sabbath day, and that would include circumcising an infant, because it's a law of Moses to circumcise on so many days after the birth, and you don't see anything wrong with you doing that on the Sabbath day, because you don't want to see anything wrong with it on the Sabbath day. And truly, there wasn't anything wrong with it on the Sabbath day. But he's making a point. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. If you want to justify it because it's your way of thinking, it's a law that you want to accept. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgments. What a great truth. And I would trust that that would help us to understand this truth, that we need to make sure that when we determine what we're going to believe and we determine what is right and wrong, that we look to God for righteous judgment. So we find here that this is what was going on. And the Bible says that Jesus was angered over their hypocrisy.
Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians in chapter 4. Should we get angry over the hypocrisy in religion, in politics, in people? Ephesians in chapter 4, look what it says in verse 26 and verse 27. Be ye angry. Jesus was not wrong in being angry. Be ye angry and sin not. You got to be careful because anger can be of sin. If it's not righteous anger based on righteous judgment. It's not just your way of judging and your way that you want it to be, but it has to be righteous. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. It means do something with it. Do what God would have you to do with it. Neither give place to the devil, because Satan would love to come in and turn righteous anger into sin by not looking at righteous judgment to go along with that righteous anger. Should I forgive or not? Should I love or not? Wow. See, agreeing with God concerning anger and judgment is the right thing. Agreeing with God whether or not I should be angry over what's taken place is what I need to understand and look to. We're going to get angry at certain things. I mean, that's part of the human nature. And it's all right to be angry if your anger is connected to what God is angry with. But it's not right if your anger is connected to your judgment or the way you want it to be or I want it to be. The lesson that Jesus is presenting here, not only to the Pharisees, but he's presenting it to those who truly see him as Lord of the Sabbath. He wanted them to understand righteous anger and righteous judgment. They have to be connected. Sometimes my personal anger wants personal judgment that's not really righteous. Amen? Yeah. So we need to make sure we're in agreement with God when it concerns our anger and our judgment. Two different perspectives here. Go back with me, look at verse 5. Mark chapter 3 and verse 5. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart, he saith unto man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And immediately the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel. They'd already determined how they were going to judge this. They had already determined how angry they were going to be. They wanted to crucify him. Straight forth, they took counsel with Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Two different perspectives on the same thing. First would be Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Praise God. He healed. Praise God, because anytime you have the opportunity to do good, especially to save a life, do it. He healed. The Pharisees had a different perspective.
Their perspective, they saw the same thing. He healed, but it was on the Sabbath day. He's a lawbreaker. They focused not on the healing, the doing good. They focused on the law and their interpretation of the law. But it was not the correct interpretation. If they would have understood Jesus to be Lord of the Sabbath as he told them, then their interpretation would have been, God, he is Lord of the Sabbath. He can heal anytime he wants to heal. But it was not in conjunction with their narrative and what they wanted to see happen and what they were hardening their hearts to, and they wanted to have Jesus crucified. Right or wrong, that was their agenda. Sometimes we get our own agenda and we want to justify and we want to go forward with anger and judgment, whether it's righteous or not. Amen. Yeah. The Pharisees were wrong because they failed to consider who Jesus was. Two different perspectives of what was done. God gave me a heart attack. What? God didn't give me a heart attack. Did you have a heart attack? I had a heart attack. Did you have a six-way bypass of your heart? I had a six-way bypass of my heart. God didn't do that. When he in control of all things, he created the human body. But man sinned. And because of the penalty of sin, this body's going to age. And everybody's bodies are a little bit different. And sometimes we're affected by the sins of our parents for six and seven generations. That means something they did six generations ago could have altered their genes that affects their offspring. And because of that, because of humanity, because of the natural process of a dying, decaying life and body, I had bad genetics concerning my heart. My dad died of a heart attack. My brothers all have had some kind of a heart issue. It was going to come. Why? God didn't do it. My body did it. My body did it. What did God do? He healed me. I died, and he brought me back to life again. I wanted to go to heaven. He said, it's not time yet. You got more work to do. Thanks, God. I was looking forward to the streets of gold. No more pain, no more sorrow. Truly. At that time, I had a pee. God didn't give me a heart attack. He didn't cause my blood, my veins to clod and stop functioning. He could have. But he chose to let nature run its course. And when I had a heart attack, he chose the circumstances that only God could have controlled in my life. If it had been any other circumstances, I would not be here tonight. That's what God controlled. And God saved my life. I was driving down the road and my car ran out of gas. God caused my car to run out of gas. Sometimes people, the only way that God would cause your car to run out of gas is that he took all the gas out of your car. Now, if God took, and he could do that, he could empty your tank, he could take it all out, but that's something that opposite of nature, that would be somewhat of a miracle for that to happen. God would have taken it out after you put it in. Then yes, God caused me to run out of gas, but if you failed to put gas in your car, it wasn't God who run your car out of gas. But that logic, come on. Do you know who God is? When you get mad at something, is it because of what you've done? And you're getting mad at God because you have a wrong perspective of what you're mad about. If you have a wrong perspective with your anger, I guarantee you, your judgment is off as well. Amen. That's what Jesus is teaching. So the lesson applied. Get control of your thoughts. Answer the question. The solution and the lesson to be learned is in you answering the question. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days? If your problem's on the Sabbath days, answer that question, or to do evil. If your problem's with the Sabbath days or to save life, is that wrong? Are you being hypocritical about it? Or to kill? But they held their peace. Get control of your thoughts. We need to get control of our thoughts, which will lead to your anger if they're wrong thoughts, ungodly anger. Wrong thoughts will lead to not only ungodly anger, but also ungodly judgments and what you're to do about it. Get control of your thinking and make sure that they align themselves with God's thoughts. Proverbs chapter 14, you write it down. I'm going to read a couple verses out of Proverbs and a verse or two out of Psalms. But first of all, Proverbs in chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. My anger, my judgment justified. Is it? Well, seems right. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's not of God. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, because you're not looking to God's ways. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. You're going to find satisfaction in agreeing with God. Amen? Yeah. Book of Psalms, chapter 139. Psalms 139, let me read it to you. Psalms 139 and verse 23. The psalmist says, "Search me, O God." God wants you to have right thinking. He wants you to have righteous anger. He wants you to have righteous judgment. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me." Do you want to see if there is? Ask God to reveal it to you. Ask God to reveal it to you. and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. See, when you truly want to know if your thinking is right or not, then you'll go to the Word of God, which is the mind of God, which will help you to know whether your thinking is in alignment with His Word. Yeah. Get control of your thoughts. The second thing, accept God's truths. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. They needed to accept that, because He is. He's God. If Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, then I need to turn away from false assumptions and deceptions. Lies and deception will harden our hearts to the truth. Their hearts were hardened because they had turned away from the truth and had received lies and deceptions. Whether it was their own lies or the devil's lies, they had accepted lies and deceptions, and they led to a hardened heart, which led to a wrong anger and wrong judgment. The truth will set us free. And lastly, once I get control of my thoughts, I'm looking to accept God's truth. I need to learn to agree with God. No matter what, no matter how it might go against your desires and your thoughts and your judgment and your anger, once you know it is of God to heal on the Sabbath, agree with it. He's always just. He's always right. Job, perfect example. Job, in the very last chapter, at the very end, we find Job finally comes to this place where God wanted him to be, and that is seeing things the way that God does and agreeing with it. Took him all this time. He finally got there in chapter 42, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now, it's much more than that. It's much better than that. Mine eye seeth thee. He goes on to say, wherefore I abhor myself. I can't believe I didn't see it earlier. Can't believe I went through all that I went through before I would accept and see and agree. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes, because I want to see things the way that God sees things. There are many issues of life, and we're all going to face them. All of us, I say it all the time, we all have issues. We're going to continue to face issues of life. Where man is in opposition to God's word. You think it's bad now? I don't know that it's going to get a whole lot better. Yeah. Answer God's questions.
answer God's questions, is it right or wrong in God's eyes? Understanding who he is. And once you understand, agree with God. Amen? That's the lesson that Jesus was teaching his people. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. If it's of God, it's always right. If it's not of God, it's never right. Make sure it's of God. Father, we bow before you. Thank you for your truths that we can study and hear preached and even apply to our lives. And I pray, God, that we would all receive this truth and apply it. Continue to look to you for right thinking. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.